You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Mysteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Desperate. This is the podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Mysteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. I'm Julia, and as you may or may not know, I'm watching this for the first time.
And I'm Jordan, and as you probably know, I am a veteran of Wisteria Lane, which is my favorite line to say.
Yeah. Yeah, neither of us have ever been married. We don't have families. We're two single ladies living in LA, and we are taking this time to review Desperate Housewives and see how it really fits into our lives.
Exactly.
See where we can relate to these women.
Yeah.
It's been pretty interesting so far. We've found lots of things that we can relate to this show about, but we've also found a lot of uncanny, unrealistic, and absurd shit that's happened, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, we're in the thick of it. Last episode, we had murder, and neither of us have murdered anyone as far as I'm concerned, or no, so we can't relate to that part, at least.
Yeah, we can't relate to the murder, the lies, the scandal, the blackmail, but some of these other themes have been pretty good. So this week we're watching season 1, episode 9, called Suspicious Minds.
Yep.
We typically will give you a recap of what's been going on so you're not going in raw here. And then we do a segment called Desperate Deeds to get you all warmed up for what's coming up on the current episode. And then after that, we give you a breakdown with a quick, very juvenile game of Fuck, Marry, Kill from the episode. And then our Apple rating. And also, we pick a housewife of the week. But our main thing that we need from you is a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts. That is the only thing we ask of you besides enjoying this show.
Mm-hmm.
Please do it if you haven't. It takes no time at all. We don't have any incentives. Like, I have nothing to offer you for this.
I mean, it benefits us, and, you know, it'd be nice to get more fans.
Help us get sponsored.
Yeah.
You guys, we're not sponsored, but we could be slinging codes at you for,
exactly,
like, whatever it is.
And I mean, if you enjoy this, it'd be nice to dedicate more time to it. So
yeah, it would be nice. So those Apple ratings help. I don't know if you're watching along or not. We hope that you are. You can do this on Amazon Prime through IMDb TV or on Hulu. It's up to you. There's commercials if you don't pay. There's not commercials if you do.
Mm-hmm.
I watch with commercials. I'm not even ashamed.
I'm bougie. I don't.
I lump it into my Spotify. So that's where you can catch up with that. Or maybe you can find some DVDs.
Let's kick it old school.
I think we should get some DVDs. I actually would really enjoy that.
I think that'd be fun.
We could get the special features and the bloopers and all that stuff.
Oh, shit.
Maybe we are. Okay.
Probably on YouTube. We should look that up, though.
On YouTube?
You think on YouTube, you can find, the Office bloopers. And, people put that stuff on YouTube. So maybe we could find
it. We could find some stuff on YouTube, I'm sure. Yeah. I might invest in those DVDs to get the deleted scenes or something. I used to watch those as a kid on, everything when we had DVDs.
Oh, I'd watch commentaries, the making of, all that stuff. I loved it.
You went too hard. Hopefully we get that going here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe we'll do that. If you have the DVDs, let us know.
If you want to sell them to us for a reasonable amount.
it's upselling. We're sustainable broads here.
We are sustainable broads.
Kind of.
Hashtag sustainable broads. That's
sustainable broads here. Well, last week might have left you feeling a little guilty. The episode, episode 8 was all about guilt, whether it was the guilt of the ladies or someone around them. That's what,
or lack thereof.
Yeah, or just no guilt. Some of them felt no guilt or sociopathic. It was a great episode. We gave it 5 apples each.
I loved it. Literally
the pinnacle Paramount episode to us of season 1, 8 episodes in.
I definitely think it gained a lot of momentum.
Yes. We saw a lot of movement in all the storylines for the characters. We learned more about them. So we're hoping to continue along that path. Mm-hmm. We still have some mysteries here. Our mysteries are what's up with Zach at the asylum. Still, I don't know if it's an asylum.
Whatever. Yeah.
He's like, you guys are probably imagining American Horror Story. It's not like that. Yeah, it's just like a teen center.
Juvenile rehab facility. Right. I don't even know.
He doesn't even need to be in rehab. Like, he's just... It's like an inpatient facility of some sort. Mm-hmm. So he's at the asylum. Will Paul get caught for murdering Mrs. Huber?
Which, that was the craziest scene of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay, so we're going to break it down what happened. But these are our main mysteries. Mm-hmm. And then who the hell is Mike Delfino really still?
Yeah.
Why don't we just start off with Paul, Martha Huber, Edie, and Susan and Mike? I'll break that down for you guys. So Susan and Mike were about to do some wine tasting when Susan discovered bands of cash in his cupboard with his gun. She doesn't like address this with him. She's not like, what's up with this money and gun? She decides to snoop. She counts the cash on the table like she's a drug dealer while he's away and ends up going upstairs with the cash and falls into his ceiling through rotted wood. And gets stuck there until Mike comes home and sees the cash that she's brought upstairs in her shirt. He's pissed. He tells her it's over. He doesn't trust her. She's hurt. She regrets it. He regrets it too. Mm-hmm. They have like a moment. Mike goes over to the house and they end up making out. He doesn't really offer up anything to get back together. She was just thirsty.
I mean, he says like, ask me anything. She's like, that's all I need to know.
Yeah, he's not offering anything. She'll take anything, I guess. So they end up hooking up. While they're hooking up, we get cuts to the scene of Paul murdering Mrs. Martha Huber because Mrs. Martha Huber was the person who blackmailed Mary Alice Young, which started this whole entire show.
Yeah.
The suicide of Mary Alice Young, which was brought on by the mysterious note that Martha Huber wrote.
And that she has no remorse over.
Yeah, she doesn't give a fuck. She's like, I did a service to society, kind of. She was like, your wife was a sinner. And Paul did a whole monologue about how she wouldn't hurt a fly. And he ends up murdering her, wrapping her in a rug. And this is cut in between scenes of Mike and Susan getting it on.
There's literally a part where... Paul's like murdering Martha and she tries to like stop him with her hand and he like puts her hand up and then it literally cuts to Mike doing the exact same thing with Susan's hand. I'm like, this is gross? Question mark. Like, what just happened?
You're like, how do I feel about this? I can't quite place where it goes.
Terrible.
Yes. So that's what happened with them. Before Paul discovers that Martha Huber wrote the note, murders her and all this jazz, he puts a hit out on Edie, which we laughed too hard about last time. It is super funny. He put a hit out on Edie based on the paperweight that he finds while she's selling his house for him. Puts the hit out through Shaft, the PI. Mm-hmm. And Shaft discovers that it's not Edie. Like, he's about to murder her in a field somewhere. Mm-hmm. And at the last moment, Edie's like, no, I stole that paper from my neighbor or something. And that's how it ends up being, like, Mrs. Martha Huber, who's what's the word for it? I don't know. Murked.
Yeah. Fucking offed.
Yeah, she's just downed. So that's what's up with Susan, Mike, and Paul. Also, last episode, Bree and Rex get rid of this evidence of the car that Rex bought his son Andrew because Andrew got drunk, drove the car, and hit Juanita, who is Gabby's mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. And put her in a coma.
Yeah, put her in a casual coma.
No biggie.
Hit and run. He ran off with that car. They store it in a garage. Rex and Bree spend the episode getting rid of this evidence in Skid Row type area. They have faith in the homeless was a line that they said.
Horrible, horrible.
Horrible shit. And then they also reminisce about their kids. They're like, how could they turn out like this? Like, I still love them, though. And it was... it was not okay.
It's depressing.
Yeah, so Bree spends the episode wondering if Andrew is guilty, and shocker, he's a 16-year-old boy that is not guilty. Doesn't feel any guilt. He fist bumped over it with his sister.
Yeah.
He was like, got out clean.
Yeah, no good. One suspects me.
Yeah, so that was really the dilemma there. She has to live with the sin and guilt of hiding the evidence, and also the sin and guilt that her son is a sociopath.
Yes. Yeah, so with our other housewives this week, Gabby's mother-in-law was hit by a car, so this episode focuses a lot on the aftermath of that situation. So Gabby finds herself at the hospital with Carlos, and John decides to roll up because he's feeling guilty over their part in why Mama Solis was running out in the street in the first place.
He's like, no amount of pussy in the world could fix this.
Yeah. So he decides to go pray with Carlos, to Gabby's shock and horror. And
she's like, what are you doing praying, boy?
Yeah, like what the fuck?
You've come too far.
So then she like talks to John at a later time, and he tells her that he has confessed to the priest. Apparently everyone in this town is Catholic.
Yeah, apparently they're super religious.
Everybody is. John tells her that he confessed everything, apparently telling the priest like pornographic details of their trysts. And Gabby, you know, one day while she's at the hospital, the priest does come in, and he basically guilts her into like talking about it. And she makes a point to basically say, like, I want to be happy in life. That's my goal. That's what I want to do. And he calls her selfish. And she's like, I know.
She's like, and?
Yeah. She's like, so?
And what? Yeah.
So that was kind of her storyline, and like where I guess guilt or a lack thereof comes into play. Last but not least, we have Lynette. This storyline was honestly excellent, and I've said it many times, I'll keep saying it, Felicity Huffman is excellent, mm-hmm. and she got a lot to work with in this episode. This episode dips its toe into some like surrealist like film techniques.
Yeah,
like,
well, there were some crazy techniques here.
Yes. But basically Lynette's addiction to her son's ADD medication has hit a tipping point. She can't sleep. She's lashing out. As we've seen in previous episodes, she gets varied results with taking these pills. So basically it culminates in her having like a hallucination of Mary Alice giving her a gun and Lynette holding it up to her head. We come to find out that was not real, obviously. But she drops her kids with Susan and drives off to a park where she contemplates, you know, her existence and why she's like, what is she like as a mother? How does she function as a mother, especially needing these pills?
Yeah.
Bree and Susan show up and they have a wonderful heart to heart with her.
First one of their entire friendship of living on this lane.
First time we see them really be friends.
They didn't know shit about each other.
No, nothing. But as Julia and I stated in the last episode, we both cried. Yeah. It's a truly beautiful scene.
It was
scene.
A beautiful scene, as much as we're like,
and they basically, and they reassure her that she's not a bad mother. Like, all mothers have things that make them feel crazy, and like, you need the help. And she has four of fucking nutso children, so it's just a lot. And they basically, you know, tell her they're gonna get through it, and has a nice little happy ending there. Yeah. Oh, and it ends with Lynette seeing Mary Alice a second time, smiling. So that was that
is a positive note overall. Mm-hmm. Ended on in an optimistic tone.
But overall, like, that was a lot. The last 5 minutes of the episode are literally that talk and then the murder and the fucking.
Yeah, there's people like turning off the podcast now. They're like, that's too much.
Yeah, like, that's all one episode.
Yeah, that was just really like last episode. There was a lot that happened leading up to that. Mm-hmm. Our death count is 2 so far. I've decided to start keeping track because I feel like there may be more coming on.
Maybe.
Yeah, we're up to speed now. We can do our desperate deeds. Do you want to go first?
Yes, I will happily go first with my desperate deed. So basically, this one is pretty short, but when I was working at good old Macy's, good old Stomping Grounds.
We both worked there.
Yeah, we did.
That was one thing we bonded over in our first conversation. I was like, I worked there too.
Yeah, our great experience.
I worked there for like a year and a half.
Yeah, I worked there for like a year. Yeah. But one day this guy that I had been like talking to wanted to hang out, so I went into the dressing room and I made myself vomit And then I went out and made a show of it and vomited in the trash can so they'd send me home. And it worked. And I got to go home.
I didn't know you vomited in the trash can.
Yeah, they had to see it. I mean, they didn't have to, but it was my, like, they sent me home immediately. It worked.
I want to ask the logistics of all this, but I don't want to gross out our listeners.
No, ask it.
I mean, what? Did you just, like, stick your fingers down your throat? Yeah.
That used to work. It doesn't really work anymore.
Yeah. Sometimes if I'm, like, too drunk.
Just like, I just sit there just depressed.
Like, I'm like, so I don't get hungover tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm like trying. It doesn't work anymore.
Now you guys know too much about me.
Yeah. Well, gotta do what you gotta do.
I bet he just texted you. He was like, hey, what's up? And you're like, I gotta go.
Honestly, that could easily have been it.
He wasn't even like want to hang out, but you're like, he texted me today.
And he was
be available.
Low key though, probably. Yeah. The guy that I'm referring to, that does sound like something that would have happened. He ghosted me for 3 days. Finally, yeah, his show's back up.
You're like, fuck, I'm at work.
God damn.
Yeah. We always do shit like that for losers. It's mm-hmm. never a cool guy mm-mm. that you're like doing this shit for.
Never.
My desperate deed is that I went to IHOP with my grandma today. I did get some pancakes. I wanted blueberry pancakes. I know some people might be judging me for that. IHOP's bomb.
I love IHOP.
Yeah, but there's some snotty people that are like, IHOP, Denny's. And I'm like, don't act like you're above it. That's just good.
They're just missing out. Whatever.
I did get some pancakes because you're not going to avoid pancakes at mm-hmm. the International House of Pancakes. I wanted blueberry pancakes. That was a bit of a mistake. Okay, I thought they put the blueberries in it. They brought me, like, this blueberry sauce thing. And it was not good.
Did they stop putting the stuff in the pancakes?
I don't know.
And now they just
I
do that?
I feel like I should ask, but they didn't put the blueberries in the pancakes. So I was a bit confused, and I didn't like it.
The fuck?
That's so I just ate weird. The pancakes. I mean, the pancakes were still good. Luckily, the sauce was in, like, a little container on the side.
Yeah, they
so
didn't fucking drench it.
Oh, my gosh. No, I would have sent that back. I'm not a person who sends food back, but that is when I would have sent it back. Yeah. Ruined the pancakes. They would have been all soggy. Not That's not what's desperate, but that's not my desperate deed. So I took a picture of my grandma because she's looking extra cute today, and I wanted to send it to, like, my mom and my stepdad and people just to, like, brag that I can hang out with her whenever I want. But I showed her the picture. I let her choose which one, by the way. She consented.
Okay.
And she takes a picture of me, and I'm like, okay, I'll let you do that. I'm not looking my best today, but so she's like, who should I send this to? And I'm like, no one. But she's like, I'm going to send it to your tia. And I'm like, oh, yeah? And she's like, yes. Maybe it'll make her jealous because she never spends time with me. And I was like, damn. I'm like, yes, she's tactical. She's calculated. So I get it from my grandma. That's really where I get it from. I also think the segment may turn into one day desperate or bad bitch move. Because some of these things, I'm like, that's a bad, like, is it desperate or are you just being a bad bitch?
She's playing her game. She's playing the game right.
I think it worked. My aunt did stop by after.
It did work. Damn.
Well, she was picking up packages, but I think it was also like,
she was like, should I go get those packages?
My aunt responded to my story of my grandma. Oh, and she did respond to my grandma's text message. She said, like, de donde, where are you guys? Mm-hmm. Like. And my grandma was like, look, she responded. She wants to know where we're at.
She's like, that was a quick response.
Yeah.
Someone's like, a little excited to hear from me.
So those are our desperate deeds. We'd love to hear your desperate deeds. If you want to feature,
send us desperate deeds so we can talk about, like, and give us ones where you give us, like, permission to say them.
Yeah.
We'll change the names, whatever. But, like, please.
Yeah.
Because I struggle coming up with a desperate deed. So like, send us yours.
Do something desperate and don't have any shame. Just message us after.
Exactly.
But with that, we're going to go hop into what's going on in Wisteria Lane this week. You know the drill. You probably just sat down, kick off your heels, and most of all, buckle up.
Buckle up.
Season 1, Episode 9, Suspicious Minds. Gabby organizes a charity fashion show that is fraught with drama on the runway while Carlos is in hot water at work. Uh-oh. Careful not to get burned. Susan learns about Gabby's secret while Julie harbors something important under their roof. Bree and Rex go up in smoke when they can't agree on how to parent Andrew. Lynette flirts with a nanny, Claire, at the park in hopes of poaching her from another family. Sapphic erotica, anyone? No one has noticed Martha Huber is missing, but Paul searches for Zach after he runs away. What a great dad.
I love that Andrew is smoking weed, guys.
Andrew is a little stoner, and he really thought that Bree wasn't gonna fucking come for his throat. Is he stupid?
He works at a dispensary now.
Yeah, that's what he does.
She ruined his future.
She did.
She ruined his future. Now he works at a dispensary in California.
I mean, low-key, when you mentioned it, off podcast about him being kind of a Brock Turner
character. Yeah, I did. I mentioned, I think I dropped a Brock Turner a couple episodes ago.
This episode.
Him and his dad have, like, that Brock Turner dad energy where this kid, like, if you're not familiar with that whole situation, familiarize yourself. Mm-hmm. There's a book about it from The Victim. And also, like, fuck that. That's one of the main things I get heated about. They have that energy mm-hmm. where it's like, are you really going to ruin this boy's future? He's a swimmer. Oh my god, Brock Turner was a swimmer too.
Oh shit, this is very timely. But yeah, no, I hate that mentality because it's like, no, they ruin their own future.
Yeah, I'm like, well, you also ruined a female's future when you fucking raped her.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not Andrew didn't rape anybody. This is
but
the
he
Brock
almost
Turner.
Murdered
yeah.
somebody.
But okay, yeah, Andrew.
He put someone in a coma.
Yeah, and he doesn't give
older,
a fuck.
Older, young, who cares?
He's over here smoking weed about it.
You're not allowed to have a normal teenage rebellion when you're. Parents are covering up your hit and run.
Oh my god,
almost murder.
Your parents are very nice to you if they're covering that up. Mine would have been like,
I feel like my mom would have been like, I love you, but we gotta go.
Yeah,
to the
gotta call the police.
Yeah,
we don't like the police either. Like, we're gonna call them on you. So this episode had a more elusive theme. Mm-hmm. I would say it wasn't as on the nose as guilt and like obvious, but I did get the impression that it was about good and evil, and like what defines you doing a good act. How do you consider yourself to be doing good for others or for yourself?
Yeah.
And the angels and demons on your shoulders, how do you weigh them? Mm-hmm. We start off with our girl Mary Alice, per usual. She does her typical VO that we are here for. She goes in on Gabby this time, and she doesn't go in. She doesn't say very many negative things, but we get some insight into Gabby.
Exactly.
Gabby has some good ideas. This girl thinks on her feet, as we've seen.
We have seen this many times at this point.
Right now, she's waiting for her next great idea, Mary Alice says. The first one came when she was 15, and she left her sexually abusive stepdad, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. He came into her room at night, and she bought a bus ticket for New York the next day. Her next great idea came 5 years later when she was 20 and she seduced a fashion photographer, which kicked off her career. And then her other great idea was when she married Carlos and moved to the suburbs. And I'm like, was that a good idea?
Question mark.
Yeah, date 3, they were engaged. Date 5, they were married. Then her latest great idea came when she was bored with her life and it led her to having her affair with John. Mm-hmm. We see, like, her little skinny legs, like, in different types of lingerie or, like, not lingerie. Yeah. But that's what we see with those voiceovers. And now she needed another great idea, and this nurse comes in and is like, are you sad? You look like you're sad. And she's like, nope, just thinking about my life.
Yeah.
She was like, I forgot. I don't even know who's this woman. She my mother-in-law? What? And the nurse is like, I can't relate. I love my life. I sleep great at night. And I'm like, what a response.
I would literally jump off a bridge or something if I told someone I was feeling depressed about my life. They're like, my life's great, everything's perfect. I'm like, okay,
she's
damn,
like, I sleep great. And Gabby is like, must be nice. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I work hard for that liberty. And then somebody's like entering an emergency, like all the alarms are going off of the hospital, and this nurse like runs quick to some other room, and Gabby mm-hmm. follows and watches. And Mary Alice is like, that's when Gabby's next idea hit her. And I was like, Gabby's about to become a nurse?
Yeah, imagine.
I was like, what? Gabby decided to have a charity fashion show to raise money for nurses. Mm-hmm. And I like how she thinks bigger than I do, maybe.
Yeah.
Then we are transported into the room that Gabby is, like, getting everything ready in. There's racks of clothes. There's women running around. It looks fancy.
Wait, so what is a charity fashion show?
I don't even know. What are they raising
money for? How do you raise money, though?
I think you just raise money for a fashion show or for a hospital by people buying the clothes. What? Like, so you somebody, okay, I don't know how a charity fashion show works. I've never been to one. Yeah. Gilmore Girls also did a episode where they had a charity fashion show.
This is a very early 2000s concept.
I think you do it for other rich people and they buy the clothes that the regular women are modeling.
Or do they buy like tickets?
Yeah, also ticket sales and food. Maybe there's an auction with it. I truly have no idea.
But yeah, it is at her house that they have everything set up. Because Carlos comes downstairs screaming.
Yeah, Carlos comes downstairs screaming. And he's like, tell Tanaka I'm going to go kick his ass. Also, the episode notes said that it was a Halston fashion show, which Halston is like a designer brand. So
all those dresses?
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about the dresses.
We're going to get into the fashion of it. The news of the fashion show spread quick. Even though it's for charity, women are seldom charitable when it came to fashion. And Edie Britney, this best so treachery never goes out of style is what Mirielle says, and I'm like, why does everybody hate Edie so much?
They're so mean to her.
And also, since when is Edie like framed as a thief all the time? She tries to steal a dress.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, she tries to steal a dress and Susan calls her out and it's like really chill about it. But I'm also like, why is everybody like Edie steals now?
I don't know.
It was weird.
Maybe Martha started that rumor. Yeah, and it was a cutscene.
Then Gabby is helping John's mom, and John's mom is like, thanks. I can never thank you enough for hiring John.
I know, his poor mother. Oh, man.
And Gabby's like, no, thank you. Like, or something like that. And also, his mom is just casually talking about how he might break up with his girlfriend. And I'm like, how do you even know that?
I mean, maybe they're close, but I highly doubt it.
Doubt it. But he's like, or she says, John, I think he's going to break up with Danielle. She just seems to like him so much more than he likes her. You know, teenage boys. And
there's a lot of like comments in this episode, like, you know, teenage, you remember what it was like to date a teenage
boy. To date a fuck boy, basically.
No, but like, ew, and then Gabby's like, I do.
She's like, she's like vaguely, but yeah, I know. And I'm like, ew. Yeah, there was a lot of gross commentary about John and Gabby, as we'll see. Super gross. Yeah. Carlos screams. Edie is talking shit in all the dresses. She's like, all the good ones are taken. Like, what am I supposed to wear? They note that Mrs. Huber is missing, kind of. They're like, she never showed up. She's like, you could wear Mrs. Huber's thing.
Which is, okay, so did this charity fashion show idea, like, come up before Martha got killed then?
No, I think it came up after. They just had a notice that she was gone.
But they just had a dress for her?
Yeah, they haven't noticed that she's gone. I don't
Because everyone called her?
No, they just assumed she's gonna come.
Yeah, like, what the heck?
They're close, Jordan. I don't know. I have no idea. You're right. Maybe it did come up before.
We have a lot of questions about the timeline right now.
Well, yeah.
This episode posed a lot of questions.
This gave us more questions than answers.
Yeah.
Edie's like, I can't wear Mrs. Martha Huber's thing because it's shitty, like all of her clothes, like her loud ass shirts, and also it's black. Martha would never wear that. She wouldn't be caught dead in black. And I was like, hey. Because then we cut to Mrs. Martha Huber being buried in a shallow grave. The shallowest
grave. Paul is like
grave.
The worst at getting rid of things, like,
with the blender. He buries her with the blender. So he which you should just keep the blender at that point.
Or
nobody's gonna
somewhere
be like,
else.
Yeah, or just, yeah, drive to another city, throw it in a trash can.
Yeah.
I don't know, why are people so bad at murder?
Paul's exceedingly terrible at whatever the fuck
he's
doing.
Maybe I've just watched too much, like, crime stuff, but these people all suck at it.
Mm-hmm.
So he buries her in a shallow grave. It's, like, it's to his shin. It's, like, not even to his knee. And she's, like, wrapped in black plastic, which is why that joke was so shitty. Yeah. So that's what's up with, that's how we open. Then we're transported into our storylines. We can start with Gabby, and then we'll circle back to the parts of Susan's storyline that we don't cover.
Okay.
With Gabby.
Yeah.
With Gabby, yeah. So Gabby is running this shit. This episode is really kind of all about Gabby, let's be honest.
It was. A lot of the episode dealt with her storyline.
So, up top, Gabby is doing this fashion show. She's running it. Carlos isn't really around. He's working super hard, making lots of money, she says, but is really stressed at work. you know, we get that scene up top where John's mom is talking about how him and Danielle might break up. Mm-hmm. This really piques Gabby's interest. And John starts rolling around in the fashion show.
Yeah, he's volunteering.
He volunteers. And she gives him a foot job under the table as he does this.
Which was gross.
Disgusting.
I hated it.
We'll get into the details.
I hated it.
She gives him a foot job and Susan sees the foot job. It's gross. If you guys are out, if there's any men, if there's any women, if you've given a foot job and if you've received one, let us know what was enjoyable about it for you.
Yeah, I've never done that. No. I don't plan to. I mean, like, you know, when you're like laying down, you're like touch them with your foot like that.
And you like.
But I would never like.
And you like pat their dick with your foot.
Yeah, like I would never like do more than that.
Yeah,
it's a little teasing moment because they're far away and your leg reaches. That's the only reason. Yeah, it's a tease,
but Gabby was trying to do it in a sexy way.
I'm just like picturing like, wouldn't you need both feet at a certain point?
Yes, I think so. Ew. But Susan sees this and she is enraged and she goes over to Gabby's the next day and she's like, we need to talk. And she's like, about what? And she's like, about how you give foot jobs.
Yeah, no. That's her concern. Yeah, imagine. She's like, look, I don't care that it was John Tucker, but.
I don't give a fuck if he was 16. Yeah. You're giving foot jobs? No, that's not what was up.
No.
That's not what was up at all. Susan's mad at her because it is illegal, mm-hmm. but she's also mad because she got cheated on by Carl. This comes full circle. Mm-hmm. Susan's like, you need to do the right thing. Gabby's like, no, thanks. No, thank you. They do the fashion show. Gabby doesn't tell anybody. She tells John. She's like, Susan knows.
Mm-hmm. John goes to talk to Susan.
Yeah, John goes to talk to Susan. John's mom sees this talk, and Susan touches John's face for some reason.
Yeah, she was really like, she is trying to fuck. I don't know.
I thought it was weird. And so John's mom thinks that Susan is the person that John is fucking because mm-hmm. she overhears John talking to a bro about hooking up with an older woman.
Yeah.
And she's investigating. So mm-hmm. she sees this at the fashion show. She comes and assaults Susan. They get in a brawl. She ruins the dress. At the end of it, Susan is an OG though. She's just like, Gabby, you gotta tell her. You gotta fix it. But I'm like, I'm done with this.
I mean, if I were Susan, I'd be fucking furious. Says, like, I don't want to be known as the one fucking a 16-year-old. Fix this fucking shit.
That's
like,
kind of what she says, but Gabby was still a little hesitant. But at the end, Gabby comes through and she tells John's mom mm-hmm. that I was fucking your son.
And then while she's stressing about that coming out, the FBI come and arrest Carlos.
She gets on her knees and she's like, Carlos, I'm sorry. You're gonna hate me forever. Please forgive me. Because she thinks that the cops are coming for her. And that is how the cops should come for a pedophile.
Yes,
like that.
Absolutely.
They rolled it like lights blazing. Mm-hmm. Like, skirt, skirt. Like, they were there.
Yeah.
And no, they were there for Carlos. So mm-hmm. Carlos gets arrested. And he's like, baby, call a lawyer.
Yep.
And then she's left crying on her front porch. And Susan comes up and comforts her.
Mm-hmm.
We can get into some details of all of that. It's just all concerning. So the first concerning thing is that when John shows up to volunteer, we're like, he's not really over her, maybe. Because as you recall, they ended their affair somewhat mm-hmm. two episodes ago. They haven't been fucking. John is volunteering and she's like, you always were a giver. And he's like, stop, my mom's over there.
Ew.
It was so gross. We have to be reminded at every turn that he is underage. And that's a good thing. And she starts asking about Danielle, about how they might break up. And she's like, is it because of me? And he's like, it's not always about you, but it totally is. And then that's mm-hmm. when the foot job happens. And it's kind of gross. She's wearing a heel and you see her like slink her little foot out of the heel. We don't know for sure it's a foot job, but like she definitely puts her foot on his dick. Yeah. And we see it
she's
from
several
different angles. We see it from the angle on her side and then we see it from when Susan comes by.
Did Tarantino film that?
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino watches this on repeat for inspiration.
Yeah.
So if you have a foot fetish, this might be your scene.
Mm-hmm.
And Susan comes by. John's mom is at another table and Susan says, what's up? Can I help you? And drops something and that's how she sees it. So it's a little bit of a clumsy Susan moment. Mm-hmm. It all fits perfectly.
Classic.
That's when Susan comes by to Gabby's later after that. And Gabby still lies like a champ. She's like, oh, John was just helping me adjust a seam in my stocking, and it must have looked different. And Susan's like, you're fucking him.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, but, like, don't tell, which is also a fucked up response. Mm-hmm. And Susan, our honest queen, has the right response off the bat. She says, he's in high school. it's illegal. You're married. And this Carlos will kill him. Those are the list of reasons. And I'm like, that's everything we've been saying, you guys.
No, it's all bad. And it's like, Gabby's not even really taking it seriously. Like, the way she's responding to Susan is like, kind of like Susan's overreacting.
She says, it's just sex. And I'm like,
with a child. With a child.
She says, it's totally harmless. And Susan's like, it's not harmless. And then this is where it takes a turn south for me. Mm-hmm. I was all on board with Susan. I was like, Susan's our honest queen. She's saying all the right things. This is exactly what I'm thinking. She says, it's not harmless. You know what I went through. And I'm like, did you also fuck a 16-year-old?
Yeah.
What the fuck? And she's like, with Carl.
Okay, it's not about you and your...
It's not about you and Carl. It's not about that at all. But she makes it about Gabby and Carlos and not John. And mm-hmm. I think, okay, John's a little bit dopey and dumb and, like, gross for all this himself. But he's still a child. And, like, why is nobody looking out for the child here? Nobody's like, this is gonna, like, present lasting psychological trauma on him. Nobody's like, this is,
because he's
like...
a boy.
Yeah, I guess.
They would never have the roles reversed on a show like this.
True. They weren't as woke back then.
No.
So I guess you're right. So they agree to disagree, which is a disgusting term to come to at the end of this.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest, you and I are good friends, best friends. If you were fucking a teenage boy, like, I couldn't just agree to, like, we'd have problems.
I thought about that too. I was like, if Jordan was fucking a 16-year-old boy, like, I wouldn't be like, this, like, I couldn't just leave it. I like, no. That's wrong. Sorry. Yeah. I'll show up at your I was thinking about that. I'm like, I wouldn't show up at your fashion show for sure. No. I wouldn't even be in it. I'd be like, I would have to turn you in. I'm sorry.
I would. That's what I'm saying. Like, there comes a point though, like, where there's morals tied to it.
Yeah.
And I don't think Susan's being a good friend by just being like, agree to disagree. Like,
they're not even friends, let's be honest. No, they were never friends. No. So.
And they went shopping once in the second episode.
Yeah, with underage Rose around. And she knew then. I feel like Susan's always been knowing. Yeah, that's why she was like, you're fucking him, aren't you?
Yeah, like, it's just confirmed what she already suspected.
Yeah, so... that's what they come to in the end. It's just Susan storms off and Gabby's like, you don't know me, you don't know my life. So the next time we see anything to do with this, John is gardening and he tells Gabby that he has awesome news. And Gabby is like, I have not awesome news. And John is like, my awesome news is that I broke up with Danielle through a note in French class.
So if you didn't think that he was underage before, this is proof that he's an immature little dweeb. Fuck that.
He's like, I just texted her. The equivalent today is that he just texted her at a really inconvenient time. And it's just so juvenile. And he's like, I did it so I can be with you.
Oh my God, you see Gabby's
eyes go so wide. You're just like, ah, no. Like, no. And she goes, it's bad timing. And Susan knows everything about us. She saw us. That foot job. Mm-hmm. Damn it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this foot job did a lot of work for them. So John rolls his eyes and packs up his gardening shit. That's where we leave them. Mm-hmm. The next time we see John, he's playing b-ball with his bro. They're shooting some hoops. His bro is...
I don't like his bro. There's something about his bro I really don't like.
His bro is just as douchey as you think he might be. His bro comes at him and he says, I don't get why you're not with Danielle. She looks slow.
I forgot about this.
She looked so slutty at Ray's party. And I'm like, is that meant to be a compliment?
Is that how guys talk? They're out there being like, she was looking so slutty. Hell yeah.
I mean, I'd have my boyfriend talk to me as like a joke in that way.
Yeah.
But girl, like, you looking so slutty.
If I like overheard that comment, first of all, that's what John's mom should be concerned about.
She's like, are you calling like this young woman a slut?
Yeah, she looks slutty. First of all, it was the early 2000s. Danielle, based on what we've seen her wear, was probably wearing a weird button-up shirt.
Weird polo.
Yeah, like, I don't believe for a second.
She just like had boobs and the guys are like, yeah. So slutty.
Slutty.
She has double D's. And he goes, she's not my type anymore, I guess, which makes me roll my eyes. I hate it when guys use the term type.
Yeah.
I don't really believe in type. I don't believe in type. I don't believe you have like your type should be a good person. Your type shouldn't be this or that. And so he says she's not my type. And the kid goes, you're still hung up on that mysterious married lady. And I'm like, so his friend knows? Like, John's over here talking about how he's fucking a married woman, like bragging about it to his, yeah. his boys.
Again, another sign that he's like not on it, like on that level. Like, it's not like yeah. he's a mature 16-year-old.
He says, we talk about real stuff. She doesn't treat me like a lame yard boy.
She does, though.
And he's like, you are, though.
Like, she does treat him like that.
He's his bro is like, you are a lame yard boy.
Yeah.
Kind of redeemed himself a little bit. But it's all messed up now. Some friend found out, he says, and her husband will kill me if he knows. And the, okay, the friend is so problematic in this situation. The writers wrote him well.
Yeah.
He says, your social status at school will explode, though, when they find out you're banging a hot housewife. And that's when his mom overhears.
I feel like his mom, did she not hear the part where he talked about, like, her husband? Because then she would know it's not Susan.
I think she just heard you're banging a hot housewife.
Okay, so she only heard the end of it.
I think so.
Okay, because I'm like, that would have been a dead giveaway that Susan's not the culprit. Susan's
super single.
Yeah.
That's what everybody harps on. The whole neighborhood knows.
She's either desperate for Mike's dick or she's just the single spinster at this point. That's how they treat her. Yeah.
So then the fashion show happens and we see a lot go down at this fashion show. Tom is emceeing and this is the best job he's ever had in his entire life. He's living. And the girls are looking glam. Carlos is not there because of a work emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Edie has adjusted the dress that was given to her to be audience friendly. She's not wearing underwear. Susan is wearing a disgusting dress that everybody is gassing her up about.
Oh my God, yes. Yes, I was almost in. Okay, so
I was going to ask you too. I was like, are they gaslighting her, right?
I have to talk about this for a second because my reaction to her dress was horrible. And it was horrible in the sense that when I was watching this episode, I was watching it with a friend.
Okay.
No, I was watching it not by myself. And I felt secondhand embarrassment for the fact that he was watching the show with me. And, like, they were gassing up that fashion. I had to be like, oh, that's horrible. Oh, they were, no.
You guys have to, I mean.
I felt, like, embarrassed.
If you watched it, you saw every, like, five people. No less than six people were, like, amazing, Susan. You look great.
It's like chiffon. Beautiful. It looks like a bunch of chiffon thrown onto her tiny little body.
Wrapped around her like saran wrap.
And then jewels thrown like darts into her skin.
Like they were sprinkling it like water off of,
And her hair. Okay, so Terry Hatcher is in the movie Spy Kids. And there is a scene where her head gets lit on fire. And at the end of the movie, we see her with like chunks of hair sticking out. That's what her hair looked like in this scene. I couldn't even believe it. I couldn't believe it.
They were gaslighting her so much. It was terrible to watch. I was like, man, I hope my friends don't fucking lie to me like that. They were lying to her, just to her face. So Gabby comes up to Susan and also tries to gas her up about this. And Susan is not having it. And I have to be honest, out of all the women, Brie looks the best to me. She was wearing a cute little pink thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a weird, this is all, they
I liked Edie's dress. I liked it after she.
Yeah, Edie looked hot, always. But there's a weird Halston plug, which is that brand I was talking about. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can find, so maybe they're still in style. I don't know. And John's mom backs out of the fashion show because she's so distraught that her son is fucking somebody there. She thinks Susan at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Helen, John's mom, comes by and she starts yelling at Susan and she says there's a special place in hell for people like you and just fucking slaps Susan.
And Susan's like, not.
Susan's like, what is happening? I mean,
she's not putting the pieces together. Like, it's almost comical how like confused she is.
Yeah, because at this point, Helen has seen Susan grab John's face in their little, like, talk.
Yeah.
So before the show, John goes to Susan and is like, I know that you know. I think we skipped over this. And Susan's like, you're a kid. This is where he says, I'm almost 18.
So he was 16 when the show first started.
Which was 9 episodes ago, you guys.
So how much time has passed? Because,
He's 17. He's so 17 at least now. A year.
If he's almost 18,
Maybe he was, like, a month away from me in 17 on the first episode.
Maybe, yeah.
But they have a little talk. So this is, and that's where Helen sees Susan. So she knows, and Susan's confused. She doesn't know anybody's seen this. She only has the knowledge that she's talked to John. And they straight up have a fight. Helen throws a swing. She throws punches.
Helen goes for it.
And Susan is just there losing her shit, not knowing what's going on. Edie is on the runway slaying. while Helen rips the dress off mm-hmm. of Susan, rips the bottom half, and then she says, "Keep your hands off my son." And Susan's still like, "What is happening?" And then she gets thrown onto the runway in the fucked up dress, and her heels are fucked up too, and you can like see her vagina.
Yeah, but her legs look good.
Yeah, and Edie's living for this.
I love the reaction shots of Edie. Yeah. I loved that.
Gabby comes to the dressing room after and is like, "I'm so sorry." Susan says, "I don't care. You need to fix this with Helen." So she doesn't think I'm a pedophile.
Yeah.
And Gabby says, "I can't." And Susan's like, "Why?"
If I were Susan, I would have smacked the shit out of Gabby at that point.
Yeah.
Because, okay, like, also, just for some perspective, Julie's 13. Julie's 3 years younger than John.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, gross. So I can see why Susan especially... I hate that they went with the Carl angle, because I feel like the angle should have been, my daughter's only, like, is 13. She's going to be 16. Like, how would you feel if some old man was on my daughter, like, the way you are?
Disgusting.
I felt like that would have been a better angle, and it would have made more sense for why Susan was so fucking, like, offended by it.
Yeah.
Because Gabby doesn't have kids. She should have taken that angle. Like, you don't know what it's like. Like, yeah. I don't know. I feel like they missed an opportunity.
I don't know that there's logic involved for Gabby.
I mean, Susan even says, like, you're rationalizing. Try. She even says that earlier.
Yeah, so she says, "Carlos will divorce me, that's why." Susan says, "You don't love him, so whatever. So why does it matter?" And Gabby says she does, but it's complicated. There has to be another way. Susan just straight up calls her weak. "You're weak," and yeah. I love that, and she's right. Gabby says, "Don't be like this," and then Susan's like, "What do you expect, a hug?"
I feel like Susan's spitting the facts just more, like, I guess in a shorter way. The same stuff we've been saying for, like, a few episodes. Like, Gabby is setting herself up for a disaster, and, like, sure, maybe she cares about Carlos, but does, like, her actions speak louder than words, right? And this is, at this point, like, come on, Gabby. We all know you're in it for the money at this point. Don't pretend. Like, when she's like, "I love Carlos," it's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, just say what you mean.
But Gabby goes to talk to Helen after this, and Helen's like, "I'm sorry that I caused a scene." And Gabby says, "That's not what this is about."
Yeah.
And she says, "No one noticed. Don't worry." And she just says it. "I slept with your son. Yeah, sorry."
It's not Susan. It's me.
Helen looks at her and says, "How long?" And she goes, "Almost a year." And I go, "What the fuck?"
It's a long time to just be fucking somebody.
I go, "What the fuck?"
No wonder John's, like, in love with
almost
her.
Almost a year you've been fucking a 16-year-old?
That's a whole ass relationship. A year?
That's a long time.
A year?
I've never fucked somebody for that long without it being something more.
I mean, that's why it... Honestly, John's actions that we've seen in the past few episodes make more sense now.
Yeah.
A year's a long time, and he's... Yeah. No wonder he's, quote-unquote, in love with her.
Like,
a year?
I get confused. They're, like, 2 months.
I know.
A year.
He fucking held that shit together.
Yeah, he's really our hero. Yeah. This way. He deserves a medal for that. Yeah. He's not being crazy.
Exactly.
He's just breaking up with some girl in French class over this.
With a note. Yeah. Good night.
So Gabby says it's over, and Helen, straight face, stoic, says it's nowhere near over.
And I love that.
And she's going to sue the fuck out of her. So Gabby is concerned that Helen is going to tell Carlos about the affair. She's sitting there reading a magazine, like, tapping her foot, like, thinking about it. And she tries to tell him. Mary Alice says coming clean isn't one of Gabby's specialties. And she... is like, "Carlos, I have something to tell you." And he's like, "What?"
He's so checked out.
He was not even caring. He's like, "What do you need to say to me?"
Yeah.
And she says, "She's going to bed." And he's like, "Thanks for the news flash."
Yeah, like, he's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And then the cops roll up, and sure, her heart is racing. She's thinking she turned me in, and she gets on her knees, and she says, "No matter what happens, I love you, Mary." She's crying, and I would be too.
I would be losing my shit. I'm like, I'm going to federal prison.
I'm going to be on a sex offender registry.
Yes.
And Carlos gets arrested. He says, "Call the lawyer, babe." And
also, Carlos does not. He's like, "You're sorry for what?" And then immediately forgets that she had been doing
that. Yeah, he's like, "I guess they got served."
Yeah.
Gabby chases him out. He's innocent. It was Tanaka that set me up, that ass-grabbing partner. And that's where we leave them.
That was a crazy episode. And just on a quick note, it does end with Susan.
Yeah.
In a sign of good friendship, I guess, sitting down with Gabby while Gabby's sitting on her stoop. And Gabby just tells her, like, they took him away in handcuffs. Like, she feels...
Yeah, she's crying.
And, like, I have to say for Susan, good on Susan. So if I were Susan, I would still be fuming about the fact that I got fucking wrecked at a fashion show.
I'm sorry.
Show.
I probably wouldn't be over there comforting you. I might send you a WhatsApp text.
Yeah. Like, you good?
But, yeah, heard about it.
Yeah, sorry. Heard what happened. Best wishes.
Are you okay? Yeah, I might be sending those.
Thoughts and prayers.
Wouldn't be on your porch. Because I'd be like, you still are dirty. Like, yeah. You fucked a 16-year-old. But I think the good and evil comes into play. It's like, Gabby did come clean.
Mm-hmm.
Good on her, but never good that you did that.
Yeah.
Carlos is committing an evil act. So, like, how does that come into play for them too as a household? Good on Susan for being a good friend.
I think Susan did a lot of good friend stuff in this episode. I think that she, by calling Gabby out and standing by that, like, and not being an enabler, was really good. And then, she's a bigger woman than I am, because going over there at the end and being like, I'm your friend, still love you. Thanks for telling Helen,
love
by the
you,
way.
Bitch. Yeah. So we can go into Susan's storyline. It's more about Julie and...
I guess Susan didn't really have her own storyline.
Yeah, Susan was supporting Gabby this week mostly, which sometimes you got to do that for your friends. But Julie is having something of her own go on.
Yeah.
She's got a man's now.
She has a man's.
And she's harboring him as a secret in her own household. But we come in and she's scooping the most ice cream and it's like so melted. I have to say, her mom comes by and is like, you got a letter from Zach. And she's like, what? You've been writing Zach? That's so weird. And Susan is bombarding her. Open it now. Open it.
Yeah.
And Julie's like, I just don't want to. And is really weird about it. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, well, I've been writing him for a couple weeks. So this isn't like the first letter.
Yeah.
And Susan judges her hardcore. She's like, I had a pen pal too, but he wasn't in an insane asylum. But Julie says he's not crazy. He just needs a friend. And then then we covered that. John came by and mm-hmm. we talked about how he really loves Gabby is what he said to Susan.
And how he really thinks that
it's gonna work out. Yeah. She's like, she does say, what's your plan? Like, I'm not gonna be doing yard work forever. And
she fucking roasts his ass.
She did roast him. She put him in his place.
She's like, she's not gonna leave Carlos, you dingbat.
Yeah,
like,
she what's fucking wrong with you? This is the friend we all need. Yes. Like, if you've ever been the other woman or man, you need that friend that's like, just fucking look at it. Mm-hmm. That's what Susan did for him. But for Julie's storyline, as we continue on, Julie, we see her next. She is harboring Zach in her room.
Yep.
And she's emptying her piggy bank on her bed for him. And it's like $10. And she's like, is this enough to get a ticket somewhere? It's not. Because she's like, why can't you just go home, Zach? Because he's hiding out there. He's being really reticent. He's not saying anything. And Julie's like, just tell me what's wrong. Like, just tell me what's going on between you and your dad, Paul. And he's like, it's better that you don't know. And he's giving off hot, crazy murderer vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Julie says, I know about Dana. And he's like, how much do you know? And she's like, a little.
She's like, okay, I know that Dana was existed.
She's like, I know it was a baby.
Yeah.
So next time we see them, they're sitting in this super cute position on the floor that I've seen in many other shows when there's teens like about to canoodle. Mm-hmm. They're like sitting on the floor near the bed.
Yeah.
So Zach is telling her about a repressed memory that came to the surface. He thinks that he murdered somebody and he definitely didn't, in my opinion. He says my parents were yelling Dana's name and mine. And then I saw them cleaning up blood. And Julie's like, Dana's blood? Whose blood? And Zach's like, I think so, but he doesn't know shit, doesn't know anything. Didn't remember until my mom killed herself and I started having dreams. So this could just be a dream.
I mean, he basically thinks that he murdered a baby sister.
We'll see.
I think they kind of debunk it in the same episode when we learn more about the chest at the... We learn more about the chest at the end.
Yeah, so he's like, my mom whispers it's not my fault. And whenever I'd say Dana's name, she'd get upset. And Julie's like, I don't get it. And I'm on her page. And I'm like, I don't get it either.
But this isn't adding up.
Zach thinks he killed his baby sister and his parents buried the body to protect him. And Julie is super turned on. She gets it from her mother. Mm-hmm. She hugs him and OMG, they kiss.
They kiss.
That's literally my note in all caps. OMG, they kiss. I saw it coming, but I didn't see it coming. And they kiss. It's an innocent kiss. They're in it. And I think Julie is one of those people that ends up writing prisoners, like marrying a dude in prison.
She's like that girl that married Charles Manson.
A prison girlfriend.
Right before he died.
I mean, that's what she was doing. She was writing him letters. She's harboring him from the law.
Yeah. No, so, she really is. That's crazy.
Yeah. Near the end of the episode, Susan is walking up on Paul giving Julie the third degree about Zach because mm-hmm. he finds out that she has a letter from him.
Yeah, that they were writing.
And he's like, I need to see them. And she says they're private. And Susan is like, Julie, what did he say? Anything important? And she's like, no. And Susan's like, she says it's not important, so you don't got to read them, Paul. Mm-hmm. And tells him off, which they have their own drama. Susan and Paul,
they don't mesh well.
Butt heads.
I did like that Susan fucking protected her daughter, though, like that. Yeah. I liked that scene.
I liked it, too. Susan's a bad bitch. Mm-hmm. She's a bad bitch. That's where we wrap up with Susan, Julie, and Gabby. We can cover Bree because Bree has been dealing with Andrew still.
Yeah, and actually, she had one of my favorite moments of this episode. So I liked her storyline. I mean, it's...
It was one of my favorites, too. Yeah. It was another uncanny moment.
They put, like, Bree kind of gets put in a shitty position this episode because she's trying to figure out what the fuck to do about Andrew and his remorseless little ass. And
Brock Turner ass.
Yeah. So basically, Bree is, like, trying to talk to him again, and he's, like, speaking kind of nonsense, kind of, like, dazed. Mm-hmm. And she realizes that he's been smoking marijuana. They say marijuana in this a lot.
Puffing the magic dragon.
Yeah.
Hitting that vape.
She fucking grabs like a container for him to pee in because she wants to get it tested. And she
so
tells.
Savage.
Yeah. And like later she tells Rex.
She brings the pee with her to tell Rex.
And he's like acting like it's nothing. And she's like, no, like he needs to like face consequences. And Rex is like, we're not going to ruin his whole life over some marijuana.
Over putting a woman in a coma.
Bree's like, that's not what this is about. This is our opportunity, basically.
Yeah.
And we also learned that he's like, that Andrew's like on the swim team and is like really good.
He's really good at swimming.
Yeah.
Bree throws the pee on him because Rex says, we're still getting divorced at the end of this.
He's mean as fuck.
And then she throws the piss on him, which, hail the queen.
Yeah. No, that was a good move on her.
Bow down.
I liked it.
At the end, she gets back at him. She hits up Danielle and she's like, where does your brother keep his weed? Mm-hmm. And it's in his gym locker. She goes to the school, puts the weed in a place that can be found, and then the swim instructors find it. And
yeah, well, she calls it in.
Yeah, she calls it in.
Anonymous tip. And so, I love when Rex is screaming at Andrew because he's like, you're stupid enough to get fucking caught. Like, you're so stupid. Basically calling him out saying, you're not busted for weed. Like, I'm mad at you because you're so dumb that you got caught.
I mean,
he's right.
This is how I would be talking to my son.
Yeah. But this was definitely an episode where Bree had to take everything in her own hands. Like, it's like Rex only cared about helping Andrew get away with the shit. And then all of a sudden he doesn't want a parent anymore.
That's why we went into our Brock Turner monologue earlier. Because the part of that case was that, like, his dad and, like, his family were like, do you really want to ruin this boy's future over a stupid mistake? So that's where we start off. They're at the swim meet and Bree and Rex are loudly arguing about who loves Andrew more and what they should do. And Bree is saying that he has no remorse. And Rex is like, so what? Like, don't ruin his future. He could get a swim scholarship. And I'm like, you're a doctor. He doesn't even need a scholarship to get into school.
I know. How annoying. That whole thing was so annoying.
It was so annoying. I'm like, he's not an underprivileged teen.
No.
Like, it just was so fucking annoying. And so Bree is like, we need him to quit swim. And he's like, it's his one passion. And Rex says, Andrew feels bad. Of course, this is a facade. And Bree is like, it's a pretty good job. Like, I can't tell that it's a facade. And then they are yelling about this. And Rex says, okay, Bree says, I love him more. You don't love him like I do. And Rex says, big whoop that he hung out in your womb in the 80s.
Yeah, what a...
This is the second time I have to bleep.
Wait, did I call him? Did I say it?
You said that about Officer Thompson. First.
Oh, damn.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's a very shitty move on Rex's part. But I'm also like, Andrew's 40 now working at the dispensary. He was born in the 80s.
Yeah.
Since then, Rex has grown to love him as much as Bree does, which I don't know if this is an argument that parents have. This is a fucked up argument to be like, who loves him more? And like, I don't know. It was super weird. So Andrew wins the race and there's sterile clapping from the family as the man in the front row is like, your son that you love so much won the race. He like overhears them and I'm like, they're not being discreet about their huge family drama.
Yeah, no, not at all.
The next time we see Bree, she's bringing home fertilizer and Mary Alice Young says, Bree worried Andrew's morality was going up in smoke. I'm like, yes, Mary Alice.
Get it.
Because then we see that he's smoking weed and waving his arms around to clear it in the room. Bree comes up and she's like, why are you smiling? What do you have to be happy about, you motherfucker? And he says that he heard a dirty joke that he can't tell her. And I'm dying at this. He's not really good at covering this up. This is probably how I covered up smoking weed in high school. And my parents were just nice enough not to bust me.
Mm-hmm.
Bree is like, have you been reflecting on why you're grounded? And he just says, like, the most stoner thing ever. He's like, I really get how my actions affected things. And, like, your actions affected me. And, like, everything balances out.
Crazy.
It's like he smoked a blunt to the face. Yes. And she's like, I don't really get it. No, no. She smells the weed and she's like, you've been smoking, haven't you? And that's when she runs downstairs, gets the container, and he's like, what's that? She's like, the container you're gonna pee in. And I'm like, Bree is the ultimate mom.
Yeah, no, she fucking goes for it.
So then that's when she brings the container to the golf course. Mm-hmm. And she has the pee. It just is so crazy. She's like rolling up in this little golf cart with it sitting on her lap. She's like, I think Andrew's been smoking. You need to test this pee. And he's like, what? Why? She says, so we can pull him from the swim team. We need proof. And Rex is like, we're not pulling him from the swim team. We're not going to ruin his future. Like, we've done all that we can. And, like, I don't know what you want. She says, I thought you moved back home to help us and teach him a lesson. And he's like, no, we're still getting divorced. He's like, you can't push me around anymore. I've had years of you pushing me around. And, like, that's crazy to me as well. That he's, like, blaming this whole thing. Like, you pushed me around so I can be a dick to you and shit. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, his reasoning is so fucking annoying. Like, he hates her. We've said it before, but he hates her.
Yeah, he's like, you made decisions and told me I agreed. And, like, I've just been lying to you this whole time. And I'm like, maybe you should have just stood up for yourself then.
Yeah, maybe don't be a little bitch.
Maybe don't blame it on her and, like...
You teach people how to treat you, right?
Yeah.
He's let her be a certain way, so naturally she's going to think that that's okay.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm so... Okay, then he ends it. He's so glad you're out of my life. So glad this is over. Just like...
Which is like...
Wave of the hand, like, bye.
Why didn't he just slap her in the face while he was at it?
Yeah, so she doesn't give a fuck anymore. She throws Andrew's pee on him.
Rightfully so.
And if you were my mom, I'd smoke pot too, is what he says.
Oh my God.
And what a little bitch. So next time we see Bree, she's still handling this. She's like, I don't give a fuck that my husband's divorcing me anymore. Danielle comes home from being broken up with in French class. And Bree goes in. She says, where does Andrew keep his marijuana? Where does he keep the ganja? And then
imagine Bree saying ganja.
Where does he keep his dope? And she rolls up to the pool locker room and with her heels clicking on the tiles, she goes in with purpose, opens the locker, and Mary Alice Young says she resorted to extreme measures to save her son's soul. A little betrayal is good for the soul. And she hides that marijuana in the sock to be found by the coach. We catch up with Andrew as he's being told that coach wants to see him. And he's like, bet it's about that scholarship.
Yeah, it's about that scholarship.
And I'm like, you little shit. And nope, it's about the weed Bree planted. Andrew looks wet. He looks not in a good way, not like turned on.
Yeah,
he looks
wet. Yeah, like he's drenched with sweat.
He looks like he was just showered. I don't know if you noticed, but Bree gets the call and she's like, I'm horrified. It's so robotic.
She's like doing like a floral
pruning
arrangement.
Yeah. She was my queen in this episode. And she's like, must be a mistake. We'll be right there. And arranges those flowers with a smile. And then that's when we see Rex at the end. He's grilling Andrew. And Andrew once again has the teenage excuses on lock. He says, I was holding it for a friend. And then he was like, okay, that didn't work. And he says, I was set up.
Yeah, no, he's doing everything he possibly can.
He has it like on a list. And And then Rex says, I don't know what's more humiliating, that you were caught with pot or that you can't come up with a better lie. And Bree and Andrew make eye contact. And Bree's like, he's right.
She's like, I ain't helping you, bitch.
Yeah. Oh, God. That storyline was good. Now that I'm, like, thinking it over again.
Now
that
we're discussing
really
it.
That really does it for me. Only because I was a little stoner teen, too. I was never caught like that, but I definitely remember my friends getting caught, and, like, mm-hmm. this is how they acted.
Yeah.
And their futures were not ruined. They're functioning members of society, so I think Bree and Rex can chill.
2004.
Yeah.
Weed was, like, the worst thing you could do.
Yeah. People were going to prison for weed back then.
In every state?
Every state. We live in California, and we just walk in the dispensary now.
That's so funny.
Yeah, when you got here, you even showed me your little weed pen when you got here. You were like, just got this cute little
light purple weed pen.
Talk to us in 2004. I wouldn't even know you smoke weed yet. Been friends for 5 years.
Yeah.
Would have been hiding that. Or we would have been smoking together.
Yeah.
I don't know. The next person and the last person we have to talk about is Lynette. She is reverted back to her boring storylines after having such a momentous moment.
This episode was goofy. It almost felt like they were worried that her storyline was a little too intense.
Yeah.
And so they were like, let's lighten it up a little bit. Like, let's give everybody a palate cleanser.
Yeah. So she got off the ADD meds for now. We don't know.
I think they were like, she hallucinated killing herself last episode. Maybe we should lighten it up a little bit.
They were like, that was our Emmy.
Yeah.
They were trying to win the Emmy with that one.
So this episode, and I think let's explain what happened and then I'll go in.
Okay. So Lynette is trying to find a nanny because Tom now knows that she was taking the meds and they need help, obviously.
And again, another reason why I like their marriage. I do like that Tom is like, let's find a solution rather than putting you back into a position where your addiction could be an issue again.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Tom's our man.
That was a good, like, husband moment.
Yeah. They come to a conclusion that they're going to try and get a help because Tom took a week off of work to help take care of the kids after this ordeal, which I thought was nice as well.
I think he's a good husband. I think he's just aloof.
Yeah. They're worried that they don't have the money for it and stuff, but Lynette has this storyline that's a bit between, like, her marketing life and, like, dating a nanny. She's like, well, in business, we always used to poach nannies. Or we always used to poach people. You don't just wait for a nanny to come around. Like, we're going to approach this like business. Mm-hmm. And then, like, she goes to the nanny park. The park where nannies are. I don't know what we would call it. But, like,
sounds like a park in a rich area.
They frame it as, like, a club where you would meet a person. She's picking up a nanny. Yeah. And she meets this woman, Claire, and, like, her storyline is about getting Claire to work for her.
That's literally it. That's the whole plot.
So sorry to bore you guys.
I mean, the only things I really have to say about it is, like, the rest of the episode, like, the storyline was boring, and then the way they did it where Lynette's talking to her like she's trying to seduce her, I was like, this is so weird. And it's so off, like, so far from what Lynette's storylines have been that I was like, whoa. Like,
it was like an illusion, or, like, I wouldn't call it a pun, but it's like they were paralleling the things, the, like, picking up a person and picking up a nanny, and it was not well done. I didn't enjoy it. It was goofy.
And the rest of the episode I thought was good, so I was kind of like, what's happening?
Yeah, it was a letdown. But Tom's there for the week. He is taking the kids out for the day, and he tells Lynette, like, enjoy this vacation with the kids. And she's like, what vacation? I have to, like, run this household. And that's when they decide that they're gonna get a nanny, and he's like, I don't know that we can afford it, but I know that we need this, so we'll make it work. She goes to Bree and she's telling her about the nanny interviews, and she's like, they're all horrid, they're all awful. And she says, Bree, can you help me out? Like, you have some expertise. Like, you know some nannies. They have, all your friends have A-list nannies, and I need to poach one. That's what we would do in business. And Bree is like, you can't steal someone's nanny. It's a bad look. And I love how proper Bree is. She's like, don't do that. But Lynette doesn't care. She's like, if I pay them more and treat them better, then, like, what's the big deal if they leave that family? Which is how you do it in business.
I mean, that's true.
She's like, okay, and then she has this line that's truly absurd. She says, where can I score some high-grade nanny? And Jordan's rolling her eyes.
Not only that, I'm, like, bashing my head into the wall. Oh, my God.
It's, it was terrible. I'm like, so then we're back to the drug reference. I don't know what the fuck is happening. They go to Valley View Park, and Mary Alice Young says it's a gathering place for upscale nannies. She was determined not to go home alone with her first time there. She had high standards, so making a connection wasn't easy, but she was desperate to find a special someone, and she did. Mm-hmm. From the moment she saw her, she knew she had to have her. And this is where we're, like, entering that weird illusion, like, comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Lynette sits down with some chick, and this girl's name is Claire. And she's like, you were so good with those children. Claire, what a great name. Do you come here often? It's so awful.
It's just over the top.
I actually don't even want to repeat these. I can't. It's gross.
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
So Lynette chats up with this girl. They're talking about, like, how horrible her current boss is.
Mm-hmm.
Lynette poses that she can come work for her. She's like, if you work for us, we would treat you like gold. And then the woman, the boss comes by. Her name's Alexis. And this nanny freaks out. It's like, I gotta go.
Her boss sounds like a terrorist. Like, why is she working for her?
And she's like, you can meet me tomorrow at this address. And she, like, gives Lynette her address.
Mm-hmm.
So Lynette goes to the address. And the woman is frantic. And the mom is skip Pilates because she got her period. And it's, like, the most housewife thing ever. She says, Alexis saw you and knows what you're trying to do. And Lynette says, how can you stay with her with how she treats you? I would never treat you that way.
Which is now almost like a, like, abusive relationship comparison.
This is making me sick to say. This is making me sick to my stomach. Claire sets up boundaries and they shake on her working for Lynette. She says, you know, I don't do dishes, only the kids, and, like, this and that. So mm-hmm. that's literally the storyline. That's where it ends.
That's it.
So.
Well.
Yeah.
And on that note.
Well, we got to talk a little bit about, did anything happen with Paul? Yep. Paul.
We do have to talk a little bit about Paul.
Not that much. He's cleaning some bloody-ass clothes in a tray in a sink. I don't know why. Oh, I guess from Martha Huber.
Because he hit her in the head.
Yeah, and then the psychiatrist comes over and interrupts this. It says, didn't want to upset you with a call, but Zach's missing since yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's a long time for him to be missing.
Yeah.
You didn't even call this guy?
I know. He's like, I gotta go in person.
And then Paul is like, how do you just walk out of a security? Like, what the fuck?
And they're like, it's not a secured facility. Yeah, like a
not high
prison.
Security. And
I'm like, bitch, it's high enough. Like, you're responsible for underage people. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, the guy plays it back on him and he says, you restricted our ability to treat Zach by medicating, by, like, not allowing us to give him therapy. Mm-hmm. You only wanted him medicated. And that's a problem. I mean, that's not why he walked out. Let's be honest. Yeah. But they're arguing, and Zach's troubled and only getting worse. Paul is perturbed, and then that's when we first see that Zach's staying with Julie. And then I wrote, are they banging? And the ice cream makes sense now. Those are my other notes. But we see them kiss, so.
Yeah.
And then in the end, Mary Alice Young has a monologue about, like, the good and the bad in people, and, like, the angels and demons. And we see Julie and sleeping in her bed and Zach sleeping on the floor. So no, they're not banging.
No, but we do get the other kind of Paul story thing is the chest.
Oh yes.
So there is a little key scene where they find this woodworker, this old man woodworker, and I'm like, what the fuck?
He's literally like, shit. Yeah, it's how so out of context.
Yeah,
because, like, you end with, like, I don't know which storyline you end on before you get there, but it's like probably Lynette, and then you see this old man, like, whittling a chest, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So basically, this man turns out is the carver that had carved that chest, and they're asking him if he has records of who he sold the chest to, and he's like, yeah, but I'll have to, it'll take
he's
forever.
Like about 160 people.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I'm like, good guess.
Also all handmade.
Yeah,
like, how long does it take to make those?
He has arthritis for sure.
Yeah, so he has to, like, go find those records. Meanwhile, he's in, like, the police station, and the cop's like, yeah, like, we need to find it, blah blah blah. And the guy's like, well, what was in it? And he's like, a dead woman's body, which this discounts the baby theory because the chest has an adult woman's body in it.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, how'd you fit old lady's body in there? You chop it up, bitch. Yeah. It's like what the cop's like, she was chopped. Like, and then it zooms out and we see, like, that they've, like, done a lot of forensics on the body. So that's all we know at this point.
There were so many pictures. That's what I end. I
like
wrote so, like, so many. I'm like, they zoom up on that corpse. There's so many. It's a collage.
So we got some movement on the chest that hasn't been mentioned since episode 2.
The chest. One of my friends was like, I'm interested in the chest. Like, that's my favorite storyline. And I'm like,
sucks to be you, friend.
Yeah, I'm like, we don't cover that. That doesn't come back. I think I just straight up said, I'm like, I don't know where that went.
I mean, it's not our fault. It hasn't been in the episode.
So Mary Alice Young says people are complicated creatures. They can perform great acts of charity, but are also capable of underhanded forms of betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a battle that rages in all of us, the better angels and the temptations of our inner demons, like they're at competition. And sometimes the only way to ward off the darkness is to shine the light of compassion. And that's where we end with, like, Gabby and Susan hugging mm-hmm. it out. It was, all in all, a great episode, but didn't slap for me like the other one.
It definitely doesn't. I mean, unfortunately, the last episode had so much happen that I feel like this episode was bound to not live up to it. But there was some good stuff in it. It wasn't like a bad episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Overall, some good stuff. So do we want to go into our fuck, marry, kill?
Yes, my favorite part of the week.
My favorite part. I love the fuck, marry, kill.
Oh, it's tough this time.
I mean, as always.
Oh, Lord. I feel like I'm going to kill the same people every time. I know. Keep killing Andrew. Do you want to go first?
I don't have my marry yet. Do you have all three of yours?
I can certainly come up with them. Okay. All right. I'm not going to kill Andrew this week. I killed him 2 weeks in a row. I would kill him again, but he didn't do anything as egregious as the fucking bro. I'm going to kill John's bro. Just the annoying, like, young boy. Yeah. Like,
with weird blonde highlights.
She was looking really slutty at this party.
Fucking disgusting for him to say that shit.
So, going to kill John's friend. I am going to fuck Edie. Usually and always, but her not wearing underwear, like, that got me. She's not wearing underwear with her little skimpy dress. Yeah. Like, not wearing underwear on a regular basis under, like, jeans, like, do that. But with a dress, you should always be wearing underwear. That's my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to marry Susan this week.
Okay.
Because I did think that Susan talked some sense into John. I think she said some facts that he needed to hear that he didn't listen to. And I think that she was a good friend overall, even though I didn't like her Carl rationalization for why it sucked for her or why it was wrong. I think that she was a good friend. And although I wouldn't do that in my life, I want that kind of person in my life.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be her, but I would want her in my life.
Yeah.
Forever. Marry her.
Nice. Those are all great choices. I had my kill, but now I'm like rethinking it. I know I'd fuck Edie as well.
Okay.
She looked hot in that dress. And I liked her whole point in this episode was just to, like, have reaction shots to Susan. It was really funny. I really enjoyed that.
Just there for dramatic effect.
Yeah. My kill this week is, normally I go with Gabby, but she did come clean at the end. So I'm going to go with Rex. I'm going to kill Rex.
Oh, okay.
I really didn't like his fucking attitude. I didn't like his little Brock Turner dad bullshit.
Yeah.
I didn't like how he spoke to Bree. Like I said, I've said this so many times. Like, there are better ways to express the way he's feeling. It's okay that he feels the way he does about his marriage, but he is so fucking mean. Like, he deserved piss all over him. Good for,
you're
good
like,
for
he
her.
He deserved it. Yes.
Yeah. So I would kill Rex because I'm tired of his bullshit. And then I would marry... I'm probably going to agree with you. I'm going to marry Susan.
Oh.
I like that Susan, like, you're right. That is the person you want around.
You want her on your team.
Yeah. And, like, she is super compassionate. And I think everything she said came from a good place. I think you're right. The Carl thing wasn't her best moment. But I think she was also just, like, furious. Like, she is just,
I think you can't think straight. Yeah. When you're like, my friend is fucking a 16-year-old. Yeah. I saw a foot job happen in real life.
That's a lot to process.
Yeah, just watching a foot job is nothing anybody wants to see.
So that's my fuck, marry, kill this week.
I'm into it. Do you have a nomination for Housewife of the Week?
I think I'm going to nominate Susan.
Oh, okay. I would nominate Bree.
Oh, shit.
Because she did a lot of awesome work. And
you know
she...
what? I'm going to go. We should go with Brie.
We should go with Brie.
Yeah. Because her bad bitch move where she's arranging the flowers and they're just like, she's like, I'll be there soon.
When she makes her son her bitch. Yeah. She was like, fuck you, kid. You can't fuck with me.
Yeah.
So, all right. Brie can be our housewife of the week. And then our Apple rating. We made it. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. 3.75. Whoa, okay,
we're close. Higher. I went a little higher than
it was in the 3 range.
I was
going to
go with 4, but then I was like, that's too high.
No, that's way too high for this.
It's too high.
Why do you have the extra 0.75?
There was a lot that I really liked about this episode. I did like that the John, like, affair came out finally. I think I was like, it was getting a little tedious, no one knowing. So
thought that was a good time to reveal.
I think I would have given it a 3.5, but I did like the ending with the chest. Like, I'm glad we, like, got some movement there. I think that gave it a little bit of an edge. But the Lynette storyline was just so fucking horrible. Like, I can't. It's so bad. Yeah. Like, that minus so many points.
That's for me, too. I was like, Lynette's storyline really ticked me off.
It was just lame. I think it was supposed to be funny. It wasn't.
Yeah, wasn't funny. The charity fashion show thing also just threw me off. I'm like, I just...
Can someone message us and explain to us how a charity fashion show works, please? In a neighborhood?
Didn't do it for me. And I didn't... Okay, I liked that Gabby's Affair came out, but I think that there could have been a cooler way in than her arranging a fashion show and, like, giving him a foot job. I mean, they brought us the foot job, which was hilarious, but... There was a lot lacking, mostly Lynette's storyline. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind bringing Rex's. I thought they had more riveting ones.
I thought their story was good. I thought it was a good segue, like, watching just Andrew fucking...
Yeah. I thought, overall, I liked the piss-throwing moment where she throws the pee on him, but it was also shock value, and I felt like they were just going for it after, like, a really hard-hitting emotional episode. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, can we do this episode to, like, make people, like... stay enthused, and it was mm-hmm. like she could throw piss on him, and I was like, it was great. I loved that moment, but it just was, in comparison for where we've been, it wasn't the best look. So that's where we land.
That is where we land.
Not a 5-star, not a 5-apple 1.
No, I'm curious to see what happens in the next episode.
Yeah,
hopefully they bring Mike back. Also, fun fact about this episode that just, like, I forgot that I had, but this was the first episode where Edie, like, interacted with Lynette or Bree.
Oh.
She's never had a scene with them yet.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
That's pretty weird. 9 episodes in.
Yeah.
Well, all the ladies better be getting together more often.
I know. I like watching Edie interact with all of them.
Yeah. She's my star. My queen. My fuck every week.
Exactly.
But, yeah, we're left with some mysteries. Like, is somebody going to find out? Is anybody going to notice Martha Huber is gone?
I know. We got one throwaway line.
Where is Mike? Is he out plumbing right now?
You'd think Mike would have been front row at this fashion show.
Yeah, he's just looking at Susan. What's up with the chest still?
Whose body's in there?
Dana?
Who is Dana?
Yeah, did Zach really kill Dana?
Was there a baby?
Is Julie going to lose her virginity? So we've got a lot going for us, you guys. Mm-hmm. We hope you've enjoyed this. And if you have, you can certainly rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. Or you can investigate us yourselves. We have social media on all the platforms, Instagram, Twitter. We have a website. So we hope that you check us out.
We post some fun content on Instagram, so we want you to interact with us. That's a really great way. We have finally gotten a message from a fan.
Oh my gosh, yes. Shout out to our fan, our single fan that isn't somebody we know.
Yes.
We love you. Yes, but we are having so much fun making this and having fun, like, interacting with the people who have interacted with us. We want to hear your desperate deeds. We just want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
Like, throw us a line.
Absolutely.
With all that said, we hope to see you next week. We drop every Monday.
We make Mondays a little better.
Yeah, it's a great start to the week. So tune in there. And with that, know your neighbors.
Know your neighbors.